Today on the Reflex Blue Show, the Font Smackdown. Hey, welcome to the Reflex Blue Show. Yeah, that's my musical intro. I think it fits well.
I think we should stick with the Dust Lab music.
The Dust Lab music has been working out really well for us. But goodness, I'm Nate Voss.
I'm Donovan Berry.
You're Donovan Berry. Hey, and you know what? We got our good friend in for his first ever live recording.
Really?
Really ever.
Here I am.
David Cadby. David, how are you doing today?
I thought this guy was just like a virtual genius. I didn't know he actually existed in like human form.
He's not like Max Headroom. He's really real.
That was just like a latex Max, I find out.
Or wait, no, it's like David Cadby. Have you ever watched any clips of Max Headroom now?
No, I haven't.
Did you ever?
A long time since I saw.
Yeah,
some
I just
Max
did
Headroom.
Like a couple weeks ago, and it was just a latex mask. It wasn't even like a computer generated.
Tell me you had to have known that wasn't computer generated.
Oh, I did back then, but I forgot all about it.
Oh, it wasn't?
It. Yeah. No, it was just a really bad...
They put a lot of Vaseline on his face.
It was a latex mask and really, really bad like vector graphics in motion behind him, and then crappy editing.
Just by bad, I think you mean awesome, and by crappy, I think you mean spectacular.
What did Max Headroom do? What did he accomplish in his life?
Nothing really.
Is he alive still?
No, well, he was a computer program, and unfortunately, unlike HAL 9000 or 8000? Anyway, unlike HAL,
never actually,
or Johnny Five, never actually.
HAL, like Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that happened.
I remember that guy.
You mean he never actually killed anybody? Like
never came alive. I think Max Headroom killed that chick on the show. I think that's how they ended the show.
What show?
Please leave comments on the show.
Yeah.
At 36point.com to clarify this up because we can't figure it out ourselves.
He also did Coke spots. Apparently he was supposed to have been a big deal back then. But I remember even like at the young age I can't believe we're devoting this much of the show to Max Headroom, but I remember even at that young age
I can't believe it's taken us to episode 3 to dedicate time to Max Headroom.
I know. I remember at that young age being very much like, this isn't really that cool. Why do people keep putting this on the air? Why is this supposed to be awesome? And I was like, that's not computer graphics. Computer graphics back then were like the Money for Nothing video. That was brilliant computer animation back
hot.
In the day. Hey, anyway, so David is a very real guy. You're here. You're having some water, and you got your iPhone. And
yeah, I'm really here.
We're going to do a show about graphic design.
That's what Nate tells me anyway.
I feel pretty good about this.
This is about graphic design?
Mm-hmm. Actually, specifically, this is episode 3 of the Reflex Blue Show. This is our Font Smackdown.
Ooh. I'm not even sure what that means, but I have a feeling that I'm going to be trapped between like letter forms and not be able to get out.
Yeah, I'm going to take my lowercase bold italic B.
Is this what the cage is for?
Is it an italic or a tilt?
Two fonts enter, one font leaves. What?
Is it an italic B or is it a tilted B?
You mean like an oblique?
Yeah.
No, it's full italic.
Okay.
It's a real, it's not like one of those fake ones.
Yeah, because the oblique is just when somebody just puts a skew on it and they don't actually make an italic version of it, right?
Right. Well, but then like, isn't universe technically an oblique?
Dave,
you got an answer for that?
Universe, I think they have an oblique, don't they?
Well, like, yeah, but it's like universe
slanted,
oblique
right?
And not...
Slanted versus like, you know, redrawn. Italicized, like redrawn.
Right. Exactly.
But when you slant it, though, you can't really just like use that part in the program that where you can just kind of angle things. That,
right.
I don't know if InDesign has that still, but
unfortunately it does. I've been forced to use it.
I know Quark did, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can't do that, right? That's not oblique.
That's not late. Well, that's like the fake oblique. It's like when you click the bold button. And it
fake
just
small
puts
caps, too, which a lot of people don't know about.
You know what? I threw down on my students the other day about, it was actually not my students. It was Design Princess Ashley McFeely's students. I was substituting for her class and had to throw down on the fake small caps.
No, the fake small caps are really sneaky, though, because like with the open type fonts, I think you can just like click on that small caps button that normally if it doesn't have fake small caps, if it doesn't have small caps, it'll like actually be fake small caps, but with an open type font that has small caps, it'll bring out the real deal small caps.
So how do you recommend doing this? How do I deal with this problem?
Well, I would say select. Well, yeah, if you do open type, you just turn on
you gotta know
small
your
caps.
Font, man.
But if you don't have open type, what you have to adjust for, and if it doesn't come with a pre-designed small caps type, you have to account for the difference in weight for the reduced capital letter form.
Okay, so I use
that's
a lot
how you
of like
spot a fake.
I
dog.
Use a lot of papyrus because yeah. it's I only have system fonts.
Yeah.
Does that have a small caps?
Papyrus does have a small caps. Papyrus small caps. You can email Phil in Nashville. He knows all about it. No, Papyrus doesn't have small caps. But so
you had me going there.
Yeah, I did. Did I? Did I?
I
have
was
you?
Really
so I was
like, I
yeah.
Was really amazed. Like, Papyrus has small caps.
Totally, I mean, got the small caps.
I would recommend just learning how to spot it on your own. But I guess that like if you go to that little caret menu on the little dialogue box for the for type, not dialogue box. What's it called? A palette. The little caret menu, and you go down to open type. I think then you can usually see like if the small caps thing is checked or something like that. It's been a while since I've looked at that.
Yeah, I got like huge into the open type when I was doing my wedding invites because I had that Veer sells it. It's called Affair. It's what we used on there, and it's just like swash
it's called
crazy.
It's called Affair. You used a font called Affair for your wedding invites.
You used a font called Affair for your wedding invites.
Yeah. Do you make your font selections based on the name of the font?
That's the only thing I use to make my font selections.
But don't you know the old wives' tale? Never use Affair on your wedding.
It's a new typeface.
It's just like
a year
just
and
like
and
if
half
it rains,
old.
You're you know it's not good, right?
Right.
Or is it good luck if it
no,
rains?
No, it's actually good luck. Supposedly.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what they say. That makes
it's
you feel
also
better.
Good luck to use Veer type
unless,
on your
unless
wedding.
You have a cheap
Veer
tux and it
money.
Bleeds or something.
Anyway, but so this would be a good point, I think, in the conversation to me to point out to our listeners that if you are like a type nerd, that's cool. You should hang. But if you're like a type snob,
just skip to like the last 5 minutes.
You
of the
may
show.
Want to just skip this whole damn show because this is not going to be the type snob show. This
come
is
back
not...
next week. We got a show just for portfolios. Right?
In a little bit, I'm going to be ripping on some typefaces and possibly pronouncing them wrong, and I don't care, and that's okay. And if I don't know the ins and outs of Kepler, which we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Excuse me? It's Kepler?
Oh, it's Kepler? Yeah, it could be. It might be. And, this is not a show for people like that. If you kind of know type, you kind of know fonts, hang out. Grab a cold one. We're going to have a good time. Hey, you know what we're going to talk about first? Adobe blew my mind!
Don't they always? What'd
well,
they do?
Not
they
all,
on,
not
they
anymore.
They put on a double page curl?
Do they have a page curl button in Photoshop now? No, AIGA and Adobe. I have the official press release here.
Oh, did they upgrade Adobe Type Manager?
Oh, man. Oh, Dave, you're breaking my heart. I remember ATM.
Did they release a Fontographer competitor?
I don't think so.
Oh.
No. But what they did do is they partnered with the AIGA, which
I know that
and,
organization.
You know, we're aware of those guys. And they dropped what's called the Fontfolio Education Essential Pack, which is $150 worth of 500 typefaces for quote-unquote educational purposes.
That's a really good price, by the way.
It turns out that's a spectacular price.
That's pretty good. That's a lot more than a lot of people pay for their fonts, though. But
well, yeah, and we should definitely talk about that momentarily. But for example, Helvetica Standard... you get 19 weights of Helvetica in this. And
I think Helvetica has like an eating disorder. I mean, it keeps fluctuating weights.
Yeah. Ba-dum-bum! Can I get the sound effect on that one?
Ching! Yeah, that was pretty bad.
That was good. No, I liked it.
I'm impressed by that. That was quick.
That was lightning. Anyway, so so Helvetica Standard, you get 4 fonts. You know, regular, bold, italic, and italic. That's $100. You go to Adobe, you buy that right now, $100. You get all those plus 496 other typefaces for $150.
But now the key here is this for educational use. So you have to have like a, you have to either be teaching or be taking classes.
Check this out. From the Adobe Education Store. You'd be shocked at how much research I did for today.
That's upwards of 2 or 3 printouts.
Yeah, it's upwards of 4, actually. Adobe does have some pretty good regulations on their education store about who can use it. One of the main kind of cheats to this is that, they'll let you buy it. But then you got to fax them your like college identification after the fact. before they'll release the product to you.
Oh, I got you.
So in other words, they're going to take your money. They ain't necessarily going to give nothing to you.
Well, you can probably get a refund if they won't give it to you.
I would imagine so, but that seems like such a hassle.
What if they go out of business before they give you the product?
Adobe really could collapse at any moment now.
Who knows?
They're not the giant, they're approaching the Disney withdrawals. Levels. Yeah, I can only imagine like the crazy Adobe withdrawl of like, oh God, give me my filters.
Oh my God,
give me my layers.
Where's my bridge at?
It'll be like a designer rehab with Dr. U Davies.
Dr. U Davies, or you get like your Axl Rose hands, like, like the end of Don't Cry, but it's like, Photoshop. Photoshop elements.
They'd have to be subsidized. I think the government would have to step in, like with the airlines or something.
Anyway, so you got to prove that you're a student in order to get this, or college affiliated. I mean, I'm a professor, and the next time I have $150, I'm feeling like I might pick this up. So here's the question I put to you guys. I am a professor, and thus, as I understand, eligible to purchase this.
Correct.
I would have no intention whatsoever of using this for educational purposes.
See, now, they're selling you a right for education. I mean, they sell you, like, a cheaper versions of Photoshop and stuff for educational use. They do it for goodwill, and mm-hmm. so that you can learn the thing, and they realize students aren't necessarily, you know, awash in cash, and they want you to use their product to teach you that, so when you get in the field.
The first one's free type of thing, like a drug dealer.
Right.
Right. So
except for it's not free.
But you're only supposed to use this stuff for educational or experimental, personal use stuff.
So really,
if you're your
non-paying
own client,
work.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
So what Nate is supposed to do is to purchase this Adobe Fontfolio and...
the Education Essentials.
It's got Garamond
Fontfolio
Premier.
Fontfolio is actually something else.
Oh, right, the Educational Essentials, right, yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
It's for learning purposes.
But then when he has a client and he decides to use Garamond Premier Pro Opticals,
mm-hmm.
of which there's 34 different variations in this package.
Yeah, a lot of Garamond in there.
Then he can spec with that or something like that, or he can, like, mock up with that. But then when the client approves it, he's got to go, no, I've got to go to Adobe now and purchase a separate copy of the same font and get the commercial license on it, which is probably
going to
be
that
like
my question is
now,
is
what,
that right?
Because what, to me... Now, what Adobe does is they have a full version. You can buy the entire Fontfolio, and I think it's like $2,500, or if you get the 15% discount by being an AIJ member, it's like $2,200, which pay for your membership right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that has like 2,000 plus fonts or something.
Mm-hmm. And I guess here's what I'm putting out there as my main point of the font smackdown is, well, most people don't pay that. Most designers, though most of them aren't going to admit it, most designers steal their fonts. And it just happens. Or they borrow it from somebody, but let me put this out there. They do that because it costs $2,500 to get a full font library.
Well,
and
now,
that's a lot of money, especially to designers who are starting out. So you kind of just take the fonts, or you borrow them, or what have you, and then you just kind of move on with your life. I mean, I'm sure that I'm not sure because I can't prove it, but I would imagine a part of making these sets so financially available to students is so that they can have, you know, real type, so that they can have, you know, real legitimate copies
get them addicted to real version of Garamond. Instead,
you definitely
like
want to get addicted to Adobe Garamond over like the ITC hack, but it seems to me that this is much closer to what we should be paying for typefaces based on
how often we use them as professionals.
Now I will have to point out that over the last few years Adobe has made some changes.
Mm-hmm.
To make things a little bit better. The original Fontfolio, I think, was actually like $4,000 or $5,000 for a 10-pack license. And it was only like this last year they finally dropped a 5-user license, which is what you can get for like $2,500 for like a smaller shop. Because you got a small shop, you don't need a 10-pack.
Right.
Now, they still don't have a 1-pack license, which I assume they could sell for, you know, like $1,000 or something. But
I would assume they'd sell that for $500. But I don't think
they give
would.
You a little discount. Maybe they'd sell for like $700 or something.
Yeah. But I liken this to, and we had this
you
conversation.
You know what I liken this to? What? I liken this to when somebody says, well, we paid $49 for a logo online. Why would I want to pay $700 or $1,000 or $10,000 for you to do one?
Mm-hmm. Why would you?
I just went with $49 ones.
Quality, maybe?
But in this case,
the $49 logo or the $150 set of typefaces is the same exact quality as the $1,000 logo. You know, as the real deal. This is really the fonts. These aren't like the fake little, oh, we did kind of a crappier Garamond and we're giving you that. We did like a bad, not as tightly put together Helvetica. Yeah, we're selling you that one.
Or these are the same.
We forgot to put the eye in it.
We forgot to put in any tracking data, so yeah. It's just randomly placed.
We give you Helvetica, but it ain't got no eyes. No lowercase eyes.
Well, now you're kind of bringing up a good point here, though, that might not be the point that you're trying to make. These fonts take a long time and a lot of talent and craftsmanship to put together by highly paid artisans who have dedicated their lives to typography, people like Robert Slimbach, for example.
Right.
And in order to make it economically sustainable for us to have the highest quality Garamond possible, this is how Adobe, I suppose, has decided that these are the prices that they need in order to make that done. Now, you do have the option of going and getting the crappier Garamond.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this issue of people stealing fonts, I guess.
Right. Well, and I think that a lot of... I look at the music industry for this, which is probably not the best parallel, but if you look at, like, rampant internet music piracy and how that was combated, at least to some extent, it certainly still exists, but to some extent, by the iTunes Music Store. It's $1 a song. It's actually 99 cents, so it was below people's think before you buy thresholds. Oh, it's 99 cents. Impulse buy. Click. I'll buy, and you could buy it a song at a time, and it was affordable. And, you know, I checked out my top five track lists, and you make fun of me all you want. I got two U2 songs, two Coldplay songs, and a Jeff Buckley track, and they're my top five most played iTunes Music Store purchases.
Well, that does explain a lot.
Yeah, it probably does. But the Jeff Buckley track is great, so I'm not going to hear it from you. But I look at, like, okay, I've listened to that track, that Jeff Buckley track, 240 times since I bought it. And I bought it a couple years back, so it gets some play. And I think about how many times in my career have I spec'd Helvetica on a job. Well, it's a hell of a lot less than 240 times, isn't it? And there's an awful lot of effort.
Yeah, but, you know,
Jeff
Buckley's making a little bit of money off the radio play.
Jeff Buckley dead!
Well, his estate.
Jeff Buckley's dead.
You know, he was supporting his tour for a while. You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, Matthew Carter goes on tour. People go to see tickets to watch someone design tight.
Okay. I'm feeling like that's a little apples and oranges, but I'll, you know, my argument is only, like, half sound anyway. But what I'm thinking here is that why shouldn't font files be more affordable? Would piracy, would just flat out stealing type, Lord knows how you even go about tracking that. Wouldn't that go down if it was more affordable? If you could get 100% of Helvetica, the entire Helvetica library for $50 to $100, instead, and which, you know, I'm talking about condensed, extended, all the different weights, all the different sizes, please.
All like 19 italics. Sizes of that binge eater.
Yeah. If you could get all that for $50 to $100 instead of... Honestly, if you purchased it separately, all of those would run you a couple hundred to $1,000, right?
It's like $1,000 or something.
Yeah, if you could get all that for $50 to $100, why steal it? Why not just have your legitimate copy?
Well, it's kind of like when Apple, you know, they got their home use operating system and it was $130, and then they say, oh, $200, you can have a 5-user license. Make it like, oh, okay, I'll buy it.
Yeah. Oh, I'll just go ahead and get the whole thing. Yeah. Yes. Why wouldn't that be a better model? And if you're selling more fonts at that point, because at that point you would, there's got to be like a magical balance of the lower price versus the greater sales. It's got to even out somewhere. And there's no way that, you know, when was the last time they did a drawing of Garamond and released that as a typeface? I don't have research for that in front of me, but it's got to be years ago.
They've got new formats coming out, like OpenType, and then they've got to, like,
OpenType
make all
anymore.
These ligatures and all the small caps and all the different weights of it. And
but that all happened.
Lots of refactoring and redrawing
but
going
you
on there.
But,
right?
but you don't get a new, you don't get like a title update if they were to add a ligature to Garamond. You just have to buy it again. They don't update.
Now
typefaces.
If you buy like the entire font folio, they give you an upgrade version.
Oh, that's cool. I did not know that. But still, it's $2,500. I'm just saying, no. it doesn't need to be that way anymore. They need an iTunes music store for type. Man, I could just go in there. What do I need today? Oh, I need Helvetica Bold. Click, done. And it downloads, and it's
they have that
$2 to $5.
They've got fonts. You can go to myfonts.com or something like that and get almost any font you want for $20 or something.
Dude.
How about this, guys? How about this? How many fonts do you need? Really?
Like Vignelli what comes says, with OS Vignelli X? Says five.
What's that?
Wasn't it Vignelli who said five?
I think Vignelli I would agree with that. Five.
What comes with OS X is pretty much enough. Like, you've got Futura for, like, your geometric type things. You've got Myriad for, like, the cross media, whether it's, like, web or print. It can handle all that. And it's you've got, like, sort of humanist feel to it. You've got things like, I don't know, is Bodoni on OS X or is it Dido? I don't remember.
I don't know. At this point, I have trouble separating.
So you take what's in the OS and then you drop like $80 to $100 to buy Rosewood so you can win some design awards. Oh.
Did you know, dude? Rosewood.
Rosewood's on here.
Totally a part of the set. Dave, what did you tell me?
I said they got to make money somehow. I guess that's the only way they can get the kids to buy it.
You got to put Rosewood in there.
Got to put Rosewood.
Love it.
In there.
It says
but it is a part of type history, but then again, so is.
So sand.
Bee's knees.
Yeah, oh, nice. Or that penis one that our tribal brought up. But yeah, it does come with two weights. I'm imagining they are standard and fill. Yeah, Rosewood.
It's probably a good choice.
Yeah. So yeah, that's on there. Actually, we should probably go ahead and list them off, almost as though we're getting paid by Adobe. Which I should say at this point, we're very much not getting paid by Adobe. So thanks. That's why I'm saying you should... Bring down the prices
pay you
on
when you
products.
Tell them to bring down prices. You know they don't like that.
But you got your Caslon Pro, you got your Jensen Pro opticals. A lot of these are Pro. A lot of these are opticals.
Now half of those probably come with the software you already own from Adobe anyway.
At this point, I don't know where most of my type comes from. I just have like type on my computer that I got like forever ago.
Like, just kind of laying around like umbrellas. You don't know where they come from. They just have them.
Yes, exactly like umbrellas. You got Arno, you got Avenir, you got Bell Gothic. Bernard, Bickham script, really?
You gotta have a script in there.
Yeah, but, okay.
You can't handwrite everything, can you? I mean, that'll take upwards of 10 or 20 minutes.
I'm gonna go with Chaparral Pro?
Chaparral or something? That's like a, this is sort of like a scripty one, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Now
the Chappelle
Show?
Coaching?
Coaching, or is that like, Chopin?
Is that like Coaches from the VC Boys video?
Yeah, Coaches from Sabotage.
Sabotage, yeah.
You got Din, which I like seeing Din in there. Of course, Futura. But hey, Adobe, only four weights of Futura. That is a failure.
You know, I think that there were really only four weights to begin with. I think that the condensed versions of Futura were kind of an afterthought. They weren't original.
Oh, are they like a bastardized Futura? Because that's going to make
so.
Me stuff.
So you. That's like regular bold, regular italic, bold italic. I mean, that's what you get.
Yeah, probably. That's the four. Gil Sands. Unfortunately, Gil Sands Extra Bold probably likely to be in that set.
I hope so.
Worst typeface ever. You got Gaudi, got Grotesque. Of course, you got Helvetica. You get 19 different Helveticas. New Baskerville, I like seeing that. Officina Sands. And then here's the kicker. Now, you get 500 fonts in this, Donovan.
Okay.
168 of them are Kepler. Have you ever heard of Kepler?
Kepler.
I didn't. How are there
Could
100?
Be Kepler.
How are there 100 and how many?
There's 168 Keplers. It breaks down six weights times four optical sizes times four widths times two slopes less a few. And this is my favorite line of the entire sheet: less a few faces that don't actually exist. There's 168 Keplers in here.
Well, there's a couple. There's still a couple more out there that don't.
That don't actually exist. They're like theoretical Keplers. Could be. I was telling David when we were coming out here to do the show, until this, I'd never heard of Kepler. This is where, like, the type snobs are going to be like, well, let me tell you something about the history of Kepler, young man.
Please do. Leave your comments at 36point.com.
Please, yes. Drop your insults on my typographic knowledge at 36point.com. Yeah, 168 of it are Kepler. I went online and checked it out. I've got nothing against Kepler. It looks like something you could set a really nice novel in. But 168 of them.
It looked nice. Yeah.
You get your Myriad, of course, the champion of the entire set. The reason you're buying it, Rosewood. Trade Gothic, which again, I'm happy to see in there, but I think you're getting... Oh, I was going to say you're getting Trade Gothic because you're not getting Universe, but you're getting 27 Universe.
Oh, they misspelled Universe. There's no E on the end of it. about that?
No. That's terrible. It's a big typo. Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting your two.
You know what it was? That 164th version of Kepler that they set this thing in didn't have it in an E.
Oh yeah, probably. Yeah.
You get your two. You get your two weights of Trajan, so you can do all your movie posters or your Reflex Blue Show episode 1 graphics, and something called Utopia, which I'm not terribly familiar with either, but 168 of Kepler.
Whoa, Utopia sounds like perfection.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
There's something wrong with this list, guys. There's no Bodoni.
Okay.
There's no... Or I would take Dido.
I think there was
also, what, Waltham is another one that's just like that, you know, in that that modern...
Look, if you had one of those in, you're gonna have to take that Kepler down to like 140 versions, and I can't deal with that. In order to add in what you're talking about,
take out some Kepler. You've got to have a geometric modern in there. There's got to be a Bodoni or a Dido or something from that school. Like, this is just sacrilege for them to not have that, and they have Rosewood.
But you gotta have Rosewood.
This is a bastardization of typography.
Listen, you want kids to win design award shows, you have to have it in there.
Yeah. Now, well.
Well, how are they ever going to work for say, Vogue magazine if they don't have a geometric modern in there?
Now, here I'm going to throw this out to really give you guys my full take on the issue at hand. All those 500 typefaces, 279 of them are Kepler, but here's the kicker. 168. Maybe there's 900 Kepler fonts in this font set of 500 fonts. Helvetica normally costs $100, but Comic Sans is free. Don't we owe it to ourselves?
That's why you see so much Comic Sans.
Well, I know. And that's why you see so little good typography.
Wait, I've got a brilliant
idea. So let me put
now.
It to you. Shouldn't the good type be free?
Well, now Microsoft
has... What if we made you pay $500 every time you got a new license for Comic Sans?
I mean, the one good thing that Microsoft did was they have had Matthew Carter design some typefaces that they've given away for free on their systems.
Verdana. Mm-hmm. Georgia. Great. But in the interest of perpetuating Internet Explorer as the default browser, but we don't want to get into all that. All right, I just had an idea from the suggestion that the better fonts should be cheaper.
Okay, I'm afraid of where you're taking my idea, but go.
I think that there should be some sort of like nonprofit organization. It could be like organization for the betterment of typography or something like that. And there needs to be some really rich dude who like...
Donovan.
Like, Donovan, for example, endows his foundation, and it gives money to, say, Adobe or something. I think Steve Jobs would be a good candidate for this. He's got a lot of money, and he's done a lot for typography with the invention of the Mac and all that.
Okay. So what does this organization then do with Steve Jobs' money?
They pay Adobe to make the better fonts cheaper. Right?
Like subsidizing.
Subsidizing, yes.
The money. Yeah. Subsidizing Adobe. Because, you know, if there's one thing Adobe probably needs more of, it's money.
They probably need some more money. I think that's probably what it is.
If they had more money.
They're actually pretty close. I mean, they're both kind of in the same city.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Adobe's in San Jose. They've got an office in San Francisco, and Apple's in Cupertino. So
they can just.
Right down the road from each other. So I think.
I think you need to broker that.
Yeah. I'm in the area, so I should just.
Do you think if Adobe had more money, they could make the user interface in Illustrator more intuitive? Think they could make that better? Do you think if they had more money, they could ship their customer service back overseas to these shores so that it would not suck as bad as it does? I was telling you guys this again before the show.
No, listen.
Do you remember when Adobe had rad customer service and that's why everyone wanted to go to them because Quark's customer service was so bad?
Yeah, no kidding, because they wanted to steal their customers.
Right, and then they got so many customers they had to ship customer service overseas. Oh.
Hey,
Adobe customer service is painful now.
I've never used Adobe. I've never used customer service for any of these. It's called RTFM, Nate.
Yeah, what's that?
You should try it. Read the fucking manual.
Oh!
Oh, that hurts, man. You know, if Adobe needs more money, what they need to do is start selling free hand again.
Yeah, you know what? At this point, you know what? I've gone back. Now, it's been long enough. I've gone back and I've used free hand.
But you're comparing it to the new version. I mean, the new Illustrator.
Yeah, like the couple years
new.
Ago, yeah. MX-2000 freehand or whatever the last version was. It's kind of dicey anymore. So I think we should probably wrap this show up, guys. I think at the very end of the day, you, if you are education affiliated, can now purchase a 500 font library set from Adobe.
Just fantastic.
For the bargain basement bottom line price of $150, this should be the pricing structure for all typefaces. Let's bring it. Let's get more legitimate. I'm not getting a lot of answers out of you guys because I think you're like, oh, God,
I don't know enough about what their profit
I'd like to hear some input from somebody from Adobe on this. Why are fonts so expensive? Yet, I would also like to stress that you don't need that many fonts.
Mm-hmm. With this set, boy, I tell you what, you'd probably have everything you need to build a career off of.
Taboo typeface.
Taboo typeface for me?
Yeah.
What should not be included in that set, even if it's not there now?
Something that's in the set, that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, ooh, let's get specialized on the taboo typeface
today. This makes it easier. Gosh, some of these I'm not familiar with at all. I think that they should disclude Helvetica.
That is two Helveticas in a row.
Man, there's some real hate
It's what you call fame backlash. You're just sick of seeing Helvetica everywhere. It's like the same.
If this keeps up, Helvetica is going to go crazy and, like, shave its head.
I prefer that they replace Helvetica with Accidens Grotesque.
Look, Helvetica's already got original. A weight problem. You knocking it more isn't going to help.
Is that...
I'm not really...
That's another font weight joke.
You know what?
But I'm bummed.
You know what, Donovan? NMFP. That's right.
Yeah, NMFP. Yeah, I like that, Dave.
Google that, folks.
Google that. So, all right. Thank you for listening to the Reflex Blue Show. I'm Nate Voss.
We'll see
you next week. Dave, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Have a good trip time. Back. And we'll catch you guys next week. To send questions or comments to the Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.